In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12, we have the story of, it's very common to us, especially with our children, that of Jacob's ladder. I'd like to read verse 12 for you. It says, "And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it." Again, this is a very popular story with our children. There are songs that have been written about Jacob and Jacob's ladder and the angels coming up and down that ladder from heaven. Well, you know, I'd like to suggest that we use the analogy of the ladder tonight. And I'd like to suggest to you that just as Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder from heaven to earth, that Jesus can also be looked upon as a ladder between God and man. We know that Jesus is our way to heaven. He is our way to God. In fact, we know in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way." So what I want to do tonight for just a few minutes is I'd like to point out several things that this could actually mean to us as God's children. Jesus is our way. He is our gate. He is our opening to reach God in heaven. So let's look at some things that Jesus is the way of for us in our lives. First of all, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is the opportune way. Now, in the Old Testament, God set up what we know as cities of refuge. These were places that were established throughout the area of the Old Testament law within a day's reach from either one to the other. And they were for those who maybe had accidentally killed someone or maybe accidentally created a crime that punishment was death. So they could go to the city of refuge and they could be there and not be put to death, at least until they had an opportunity to stand before one of the judges of God. There were six of these cities strategically placed, again, so that anyone living in the area of Israel could reach them within a day's journey. You can see on the map, of course, the area of Israel around the Mediterranean, and you can see the six cities that are actually there. Now, we read of this story, and we read of these six cities in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. This was a way under the old law that one could still live after committing a sin. Now, the reason I brought this out is because I want to suggest to you that the same opportunity for us today is available through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our refuge, just as these cities were the refuge of those who lived under the old law. You see, Jesus came to save sinners. Luke wrote this in Luke 19 and verse 10. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, the Apostle Paul declared that mission of Jesus was to save sinners. And then he also included himself in this. He came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, we all know the life of the Apostle Paul and the great apostle that he was for our Lord. But yet he considered himself to be the chief of sinners. And it could be because he was thinking back to the day before he became a Christian and how he persecuted the church and sent men and women to prison and even sent men and women to their death because they followed Jesus Christ. So I don't know if he was looking at that or if maybe he was just looking at himself as a human being a sinner like you and me. But he considered himself to be the chief of sinners. And Jesus came, he said, to save him. Jesus is the one who stands at the door and knocks upon your life and mine. He gives you an opportunity to open your door and let him in. He is indeed the opportune way for us to find salvation. Jesus is also known as the open way. Now, at the cross of Calvary was where Jesus made it possible for sins to be forgiven. And again, let's go back and look at the old law. The old law was never written. It was never designed to forgive sin. In other words, sins were retained year after year. And we like to use the term they were rolled forward to the time of Christ, where he could actually remove our sins or man's sins from his life. It was at the cross of Calvary that this happened. When Jesus went to the cross, all of the sins of the people from Adam on had been moved forward to that point to where his death on the cross brought an end to sin in everyone's life. The Christ sacrifice took away sins. I want us to read together, if you will, from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. And this is going to tell us that Jesus did this and in the way that he did it. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now we know that under the old law, the high priest went into the most holy place once a year to offer a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. The only thing was that sacrifice that was made, it was made with the blood of bulls and goats. It was not the blood of the Son of God. And because it was an imperfect sacrifice, it could not remove sin as we know it. But Christ, and according to the Hebrew writer, his blood would indeed, on one occasion, end sin as we know it. If he had come to this earth and did something with someone else's blood, it says he would have needed to suffer more than once. He would have to have suffered often to do this, just as the high priest had to go into the most holy place every year. But he was manifested by God on one occasion to take away the sins of the world. So there was never any need for any other sacrifice to take place. This was a once-for-all sacrifice. Now, Jesus is going to return. But he is not going to return to offer another sacrifice to bear it for sin. It will be to give salvation to those who have followed him and obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the open way. Jesus is also the original way. Now, you know, many people have come and gone throughout the world claiming to be the way leading to eternal life. Now, this, for the most part, came after the establishment of Christianity. Most world religions that I am aware of and that we hear about throughout the globe, they are established religions, and many of them have been around longer than Christianity itself. But one thing that they do not do, they do not offer eternal life. They do not offer man anything that goes beyond the grave. But Jesus, the original and only way to God, has given to us a way that we can have eternal life. And as far as I know, Christianity is the only, or maybe one of the very few, religions on this planet that will actually do that. Now, the Hebrew writer stresses this in an important way in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. He said, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh." So his flesh is going to live again after the cross, and we know that it did. We know that Jesus Christ is eternal. He was from everlasting to everlasting. He was there at the beginning when the words, "Let there be light," was spoken. And he will be there at the end when he comes to bring us home with him. In fact, Jesus, he actually said that he was dead and now alive and alive forevermore. And he was talking about in the physical sense. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 18, he says, "And the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades." So this makes his way a living way, the original living way. It was inaugurated at his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And because his way is an eternal living way, that gives you and I the opportunity to have an eternal living way through Jesus Christ. And he is the only way by which we may have life. As I said, many people have come and gone and offered many things religiously to mankind, but they have never been able to do what Jesus Christ has done for us. He is the original and the living way. Next, he is the omnipotent way. Now, first of all, let's get a good definition of the word omnipotent. Now, this is a word that you don't see used very much in the English language. According to Mr. Webster, the word omnipotent simply means having complete or unlimited power. That there is nothing that he cannot do. Remember the great teachings of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 35 when he wrote about the highway of holiness, and he said that it is the redeemed that will walk the highway of holiness. In Isaiah 35 beginning with verse 8, he says, "A highway shall be there and a road, and that shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there." So there is an avenue for you and I to walk redeemed on this wonderful highway that has been provided for us. You know, Paul tells us that Jesus leads us in triumph as we go through life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." So it is Jesus Christ. He is this wonderful, wonderful, omnipotent way. And in Revelation chapter 19, we see the picture of this victorious Christ. He is leading his army of saints to overcome all of their enemies. He has total omnipotent power over his adversaries. He will win, and there is no doubt in anyone's mind about that. And then finally, and we've mentioned this already, Jesus is the only way. You know, there are reasons for us to go Jesus' way. Number one, he is preparing a place for us. He is now in heaven preparing us our very own place, a dwelling place for the faithful. He tells us this in John chapter 14 and verse 1. And again, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. and you hear me mention it often in my lessons. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And after he spoke these words to his apostles, Thomas spoke up and said, Lord, I don't know the way. Tell me the way to these mansions. And this is exactly what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Jesus did not say that he was a good way that we can follow to life. He did not say that he was one of many ways that we can follow to find life. He didn't even say that he was the best way to find life. He simply said, I am the way. That means he is the only way. No man comes to the Father except through him. So there, my friends, there you have it. Jesus Christ, he is the opportune way. He is the open way. He is the original way, although many have copied after him. He is the omnipotent way, which means the most powerful way. And he is indeed the only way. And my friends, I want to suggest to you tonight that this way, this wonderful way to God, is yours if you will accept it. We can forsake our sins and we can follow Jesus because he is the way to salvation. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, obey him today and come to the Lord and let him offer you your salvation. If you are an erring child of God, change your life and come back to the Lord and give it back to him. And again, follow the only way that will allow you to reach heaven. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand to sing this song.